a supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. Accept our condolences on this special day. باب الأطشان باب الأريان حسين حسين باب المظلوم باب الأطشان. Today, Saturday, is the 12th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of August 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As-salamu Imam Sajjad, addressing the people of Kufa, said, O people, you broke your covenant with my father and confronted him. I am the son of the Imam who was beheaded near the Euphrates, whereas he had enforced no oppression against anyone and applied no trick. How evil can you be? If God's messenger tells you, you killed my sons, broke up my privacy, and you are not my ummah, are you able to look into his eyes on the day of resurrection? The words of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, impressed the people of Kufa so much so that the sound of crying rose from everywhere. Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio on the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. We offer our condolences on this special day.
Salawat upon Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, Sayyid al-Abidin. Alladhi istakhlastahu li nafsin, wa ja'alta minhu a'immat al-huda. الذين يهدون بالحق وبه يعدلون اخترته لنفسك وطهرته من الرجس واصطفيته وجعلته راديا اللهم فصل عليه أفضل ما صليت على أحد من ذرية أنبيائه حتى تبلغ به ما تقدر به عينه في الدنيا والآخرة إنك عزيز حكيم.
O Allah, please send blessings upon Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the chief of worshippers, whom you have purely dedicated to yourself, and have brought forth from him the leaders of true guidance, who guide to the truth and judge with it. You have chosen him for yourself, purified him against filth, selected him, and made him guide and well guided. O Allah, send blessings upon him with the most excellent blessings that you have ever sent upon any of your prophet's offspring, so that these blessings raise him in what delights his eye in this world and the hereafter. You are very almighty and wise.
Martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. The 34-year period of imamate or divinely decreed leadership of Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the son of the successor of Imam Hussein, witnessed the despotic rule of a series of Umayyad despots. However, because of the great impact of the tragedy of Karbala on people's conscience, the self-styled caliphs did not dare to openly insult Islam. Moreover, from a period of 10 years following the death of the tyrant Yazid in 63 AH, the Umayyads were almost on the verge of collapse, while in Mecca, Abdullah ibn Zubayr had declared himself as caliph. These 10 years were indeed torching for the fourth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Since Abdullah ibn Zubayr was an avowed enemy of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, after the death of Ibn Zubayr, the Marwan branch of the Umayyad regained power and established their authority over the Islamic realm. Under Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, like the rest of the caliphs, Abdul Malik was also tyrant, and once on entering Medina after performing the Hajj, he said, "I will treat the people with a sword, and I swear to kill whoever from now on advises me to be pious." In such adverse circumstances, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, applied guided the Muslim Ummah. The fourth Imam dauntlessly embarked on training a group of scholars in order to pave the ground for revival of Islam. He familiarized people with the lofty ideals of Islam through supplications to Allah Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslim Shia, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the martyrdom of the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam. It must be indicated that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam received the post and office of Imamate on the day of Ashura, right after the martyrdom of his father, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And receiving the post of imamate, the post and office of imamate on such a historic and full of calamities day like Ashura, indicates that the period of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam's imamate was going to be a special time and an era. An era full of oppression and full of political pressure on him. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, as his designation as Sajjad, the person who prostrates himself in prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indicates was very pious. It doesn't mean that other infallible imams were not so pious. Rather, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam has been recognized as such. We find that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam continued the mission of his father, that is, the mission of guiding people, in another way. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam initiated his movement, his Ashura movement, in order to guide the people from ignorance and perplexity to light and felicity in one way, and Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam continued the way of his father, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, in another way. However, as Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was always under constant watch by the Umayyad people, because he was a survivor of the day of Ashura, and he was the elder son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he decided to direct people to the right path, not in terms of or not in the form of giving them advice or lectures on how to behave or how to treat other people. Rather, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam offered many prayers, and these prayers are, thanks God, available to us in the form of As-Sahifat al-Kamilat al-Sajjadiyya.
Here is a piece of advice from the Imam to the people through his disciple Abu Hamza Thomali. Avoid association with the sinful and wrongdoers. Avoid cooperation with the oppressive and contact with the corrupt people. Keep distance from them and beware that whoever opposes the divine leaders and follows a religion other than that of God, he or she will go to hell. The fourth Imam kept the memory of the tragedy of Karbala alive. Whenever he would drink water, he would burst into tears in recalling the thirst of his father and the martyrs of Karbala. One day, when someone asked him how his grief would come to its end, he replied, "Prophet Jacob, who had 12 sons, on losing only one son, wept so bitterly that he became blind, but I have witnessed the killing of my father, my brothers, my uncles, and 17 of my kinsmen, whose dismembered bodies were spread on the ground, so how can my sorry end?" The personality of Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, unmasked Umayyad hypocrisy as he revealed their crimes against humanity by saying, "We were treated like the Israelites in the time of the Pharaohs. They killed our men and led our women alive. The Arabs, despite acknowledging the superiority of the Quraysh, subjected us to utmost atrocities. Despite the fact that we were the children of the noblest of them, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure family." The fourth Imam was martyred through a fatal dose of poison given by Walid ibn Abdul Malik and was laid to rest in the Baqi cemetery of Medina beside his uncle, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him.
Ya Aba Hassan, Ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, Ya Zain al-Abidin, Ya ibn Rasulullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. Till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and since today is the 12th of Muharram, which according to a narration is the martyrdom anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, let us listen to one of his wise statements. "Do not precede the acts of obedience to the tyrannical rulers and the pleasures of this world to the fulfillment of God's instructions and the acts of obedience to him and to them whose obedience is incumbent upon you."
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we'd like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, and to all the Muslims throughout the world, and especially the followers of this Imam, and this being the demise of the fourth holy Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the Imam who witnessed the tragedy of Karbala, the Imam who witnessed the tragedy of Kufa, the Imam who witnessed the tragedy of Sham, and then the Imam who witnessed the downfall of Medina, the attack that happened, and all the rest of it that occurred in that period of time, the expulsion of his aunt from the city of Medina, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to have a little of the patience of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, an Imam who left with us a treasure in the Sahifa al-Sajjadiyya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly understand a little of this book. Even a little understanding of this book is so much. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have given this advice to some of his companions regarding death. It's a very beautiful, you know, saying, in his something that is, you know, worthy of reflection. So the Imam alayhi salam says, "Woe to you, O son of Adam. You are negligent but not neglected." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always taking account. Your death is the hastiest to you. It is approaching you with firm and sure steps. It is targeting you, and it is about to hit you, and you will soon take your age in full, that is, your time will be over, and the angel of death will seize your soul, and you will be alone in your grave. This is going to happen, the Imam is saying. While you're in your grave, the Imam is saying, there your soul will be given back to you, and the two angels, namely Munkir and Nakir, will come into your grave to examine and interrogate you. And this interrogation will be so difficult. They will ask you about the Lord that you were worshipping, the Prophet whom was sent to you, the religion that you were following, the book that you were reciting and using as a guide, and the Imam to whom you are adhering loyally. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to answer these questions. For at that time we cannot make up something. We will not be answering like we answer now. The answers will come from the depths of our soul, from the depths of our essence. And it is that will show. It's not really needed for us to speak. All of this will show. And it will come in front of us. And we will see that this is who I was. This is who my Lord was. This is who my Prophet was. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us on that day. On the right of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and our honorable guest, dear brother Muhammad Reza, is here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. In the first part, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran. After that, we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, and then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to listen to some other interesting Quranic parts. So stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. I'm sure that you, dear audience, know Mustafa Ismail. He's very famous. This Egyptian Qari was born in 1905 and passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. He's entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the King of Reciters. And you know that he had a unique style. He employed the Arabic maqamat, or melodies, to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener, and he moved easily between maqamat and never went off tone. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is interested in his recitations, and has advised Quran reciters to follow his style. On June 7th, 2016, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, said, "You should not mistake the Holy Quran for singing. Singing is a different issue. The Qurra of previous generations, the likes of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Sha'shai, and even Muhammad Rifat, were great personalities who were musicians, but they recited the Holy Quran with a Quranic rhythm and melody. They did not allow it to be mixed with Barsings and such descendants' music. Today, some individuals do not have such considerations. One can see this in their recitation. These beauties should help us get close to the Holy Quran. They should strengthen our relationship with the Holy Quran." Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, reciting verse 116 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And when Allah saith, "O Jesus, son of Mary, didst thou say unto mankind, take me and my mother for two gods beside Allah?" He saith, "Be glorified. It was not mine to utter that to which I had no right. If I used to say it, then thou knewest it. Thou knowest what is in my mind, and I know not what is in thy mind. Lo, thou, only thou art the knower of things hidden."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال الله يا عيسى ابن مريم أأنت قلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين من دون الله؟ قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق، إن كنت قلته فقد علمته، تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك، إنك أنت علام الغيوب. صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail reciting Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 116. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This verse that Sheikh Mustafa Ismail recited which was in Maqam al-Rast. The whole recitation was in Maqam Rast. And in this recitation, Mustafa Ismail is reciting at the middle register of his voice, not the highest register or the lowest register of his voice. Because, you know, reciting the Quran is not all about Jawab and Jawabul Jawab. The Qarar, which is the lower register, is also very important. And we should not be heedless of the lower register. And it makes the recitation very beautiful, in fact.
But as you said, he recites in Jawab.
It's in between Qarar and Jawab. It's not... he can still recite in a higher register. He can recite in a higher register for it to be Jawab. But it's something in between Qarar and Jawab. It's not really the Jawab of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we could say the middle register, yes. And this is a studio recitation. Mustafa Ismail himself said in an interview that he can't recite the Quran very well in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
he needs feedback.
He needs feedback. He needs other people to interact with. And that is why his live recitations are a lot more than his studio recitations. His studio recitations aren't as powerful and attractive as his live recitations. Unlike, remember we said that Sheikh Kamal Yusuf al-Bahtimi, his radio, or we could say his studio recitations are just as powerful as his live recitations, but this is not the case. As far as Mustafa Ismail is concerned.
Okay, now if you agree, let's talk about its point.
Yes, the tajweed points. Mustafa Ismail, he applies the rules of tajweed very well in this recitation. Ya Isa bin. Isa turns into Isa bin. It becomes a fatha because there is a hamzatul wasl after the long vowel of Isa.
So the long vowel becomes short.
It becomes a fatha. Ayyisabin. Ayyisabina. Then we have the phrase A'anta. The ikhfa of the nun sakina was applied very well by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. A'anta. We should not place the tongue on the place of articulation of ta. If you say A'anta, that's not ikhfa, that's incorrect. Then we have ummiya, qulta linnasi ittakhidhuni wa ummiya. The mim is mushaddad, and you have to pronounce it with ghunna. You have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. Other than that, the ya of ummiya is not mushaddad. If you say ummiya, that's incorrect. It's ummiya, okay?
The ya should not be mushaddad.
Okay, then he says min dunillah.
Another ikhfa.
It's another ikhfa, but other than that, his intonation is rising on the word Allah, because this is a question. Allah is asking Jesus Christ a question. And so, you know, when you ask a question, you have a rising tone, in rising Arabic intonation. And then Qala subhanak. We have subhanak. We have the qalqala in this word. The ba. Subhanak. If you say subhanak, that's incorrect.
Unfortunately. We had another qalqala before. Ibn.
Yeah, that was also a qalqala. Subhanaka ma yakunu li an. We have matul munfasil, which should be lengthened to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts, but Mustafa Ismail lengthens this matul munfasil to 2 vowel counts, which is called qasr.
Normal
shortest number of vowel counts for matul munfasil, and it's just like you said, it's the normal long vowel without the extra lengthening. And finally, nafsik, we have fa is sakin, and it should be pronounced with the characteristic of Rakhawa. And Mustafa Ismail, he did this. He pronounced the fa very well. And also the kaf was pronounced with the clicking sound. Nafsik. Nafsik.
The clicking sound without qalqala.
Without qalqala.
And in pronouncing fa, when you said it's a letter of rakhawa, you mean it's a weak fricative and it has the longest timing.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam al Hussein alayhi salam. Ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidayya.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we were talking about the word أهل البيت in this part of the ziyar. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت. And may Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against you, O the household of the Prophet. We said that there has been a controversy among the Muslim scholars about the identity of the Ahlul Bayt, but we have many narrations, specifically from the Sunni references, claiming that the term Ahlul Bayt is referring to the five companions of the mantle, and of course not the wives of the Holy Prophet. We also said that if the verse was revealed solely for the wives of the Holy Prophet, it would not have been mentioned with a masculine plural pronoun kum in both the phrases of ankum wa yutahirakum. The mention of kum indicates that the Ahlul Bayt also includes males who are Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So the Shia narrators of the tradition likewise have dealt with the meaning of the Ahlul Bayt in detail. While they do not negate the Ashabul Kisa or the Ahlul Bayt, they add that the term also employed for the grandsons of the Holy Prophet sallallahu through the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam until the present Holy Imam Al-Hujjah, may Allah hasten his reappearance and enable us to actively serve him and avenge the blood of his grandfather Hussein alayhi salam. So this is how the Shi'i traditions deal with the meaning of the Ahlul Bayt. Now let's have a look at some of the traditions narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam from his father Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, who said, دخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله في بيت أم سلمة وقد نزلت عليه هذه الآية. I came into the presence of the Apostle of Allah in the house of Umm Salama, and the verse of purification or tathir had just been revealed to him. The Apostle of Allah said, O Ali, this verse has been revealed about you and my two grandsons and the Imams from your sons.
People ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right. Go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates him, he understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts, no matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Also, during his captivity together with the noble family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam met an old man in Sham, which is an area around Syria, who thanked Allah for having made Yazid victorious. Realizing his innocence and ignorance, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam conversed with him. At one point, the conversation reads, أما قرأت في الأحزاب إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Imam عليه السلام said to the old man, have you not read in the chapter Ahzab the verse that says, indeed Allah desires to repel all impurity from you, O the Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with a thorough purification? The old man said, وَلَأَنْتُمْ هُمْ? Are you really those people? And the Imam said, Naam, yes. Having realized his ignorance and the truth of what had actually transpired, the old man started to repent. Anyway, we were talking about Ahlul Bayt. فَلْعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ Against you, O the household of the Prophet. The Ahlul Bayt literally means that those who are intimate with the house of the Prophet. And they are the religion themselves. And this is what the well-known successively narrated tradition of Thaqalain resonates. The Ahlul Bayt's thoughts, their speeches, their actions, they are all the commentary of the Holy Quran. So oppression and injustice done to them is oppression and injustice to the Holy Quran and to Islam. And those who establish the foundation of wrongdoing against them, in reality, establish the foundation of wrongdoing against the Holy Quran and Islam. We'll discuss that more in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid, millat Iran, millat mojza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience. And welcome to a new program called The Man Who Changed the World. This program is going to speak about the life and times of Imam Khomeini. And we are going to delve into the biography of this great divine personality who certainly shaped the future for tomorrow. And we are going to speak about in depth various dimensions and aspects of this great personality, and of course the impact that he made around the globe in terms of the Islamic Revolution of 1979 here in Iran. I myself am the host of the program. My name is Ijaz Hosseini, and I'm going to have an expert in the studio who is going to help me through this discussion about this great personality, and that's Sayyid Taqi Razavi, who is an Islamic scholar and researcher. Salam, Sayyid, and thank you very much for being on the program, giving your valuable time to us. Thanks.
Alaykum Salaam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Great. So, as they say, let's begin at the beginning, and we begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this great personality of Imam Khomeini. And we wish to, first of all, I think, as we say, begin with his birth and his lineage, his family background, of course, in Khomein, which is a small town here in central Iran, and not very far from the holy city of Qum. I think it's only a few hours' drive. And we want to, first of all, begin with the significance of the birthday of the of this imam, and speak a bit about his family background and what were the ingredients in which this great personality was being shaped, which then, of course, inspired the rest of us, both in the East and the West, as Muslims. So, Sayyid Taqi, can you give us a bit of a background on the lineage of Imam Khomeini, the family background, and of course, the very humble beginnings of this great personality in 1902, which is just at the beginning of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's a big history involved here as well in Iran, in terms of the fact that, you know, oil was being discovered, and that became a curse as well as a blessing for Iran. But at the same time, of course, there was the world powers at that time. The British were dominant throughout the world. So there's a very complicated background to all this, but it helps us to try to put things into perspective. So let us start with the humble beginnings of this imam. May God bless his great soul.
Inshallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Thank you.
Of course, we know his name was Ruhullah Musvi Khomeini.
Yes.
And that in itself is interesting name-giving as far
right.
as his
right.
Father, mm-hmm. Sayyid Mustafa, was concerned.
Yes.
Calling him the spirit of God, Ruhullah.
Ruhullah, yes.
You know, that is an interesting grace in itself. That
it's a connotation which was used with Prophet Jesus because it really had a big impact in the
indeed,
West in that
but,
terms.
But then you look at how you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could almost say, enlightened his father to select this name as a name for his newborn child.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, being born on a very auspicious day as well, the Wiladat of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salam Alayha.
That's right, the birthday, you know, of this great holy image, daughter of the
exactly.
Holy Prophet, peace
be
upon him.
He was
yes.
born on the 20th of Jamad al-Thani,
yeah.
1320.
Yes, 1320,
Hijri,
yes.
Hmm. Which is same as, which correlates to the 24th of September, 1902. And what's really interesting, when we look at a brief background to him first, before we move into a little bit of his life history, which we come across when we... of course, when we learn more and more about this learned person, it's always important. You know, it's
yes.
funny, a lot of our youth in the world know when Michael Jackson was born, where he lived, and but we don't really know the...
that is what we call the superfluous and useless information
exactly.
that
but
people
our youth
but
are not
right.
encouraged towards learning more about their learned personalities,
of
and
course.
Therefore it's paramount.
But
that
in a sense, Sayyidina, you know, Imam Khomeini was no less an icon. I mean, the images...
Indeed, but then,
yeah,
you know, the
global.
Iconic image of Imam
yeah.
Khomeini
hmm.
Obviously has its, you know, its depth in closeness to God, not closeness to Shaitan. So we see, of course, the iconicness is in the lineage to start with, the very
absolutely.
Fact that his family is an offspring of Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamul Alayha,
yes.
her great grandson Hazrat Musi Kazim, Imam Musi Kazim alayhi salam.
And of course, he is of course the natural descendant of Imam Al Hussein.
Indeed.
And the thing is that I don't want to jump the gun here, mm-hmm. but you know, you can't help when you read about this great personality that how many parallels.